say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. The show is Open Wide. And we haven't recorded in a while, guys. I mean, we pre-record these shows. I guess that's no secret. What was the last time we recorded? A couple weeks ago?
It's probably been about 3 weeks, hasn't it?
I think before Thanksgiving, before the holiday. Yeah, we've had a break.
And we're coming up on Christmas, New Year's. I mean, people make New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
Should one of them be to...
This is our New Year's resolution show.
That's what the show's dedicated to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I see that right here. What am I talking about? Yeah, I know what you mean. So anyway, let's talk about... maybe we can review some things.
Yes.
Among others, your new patient special, which I happen to know of intimately because I... is that a right word to use?
Yes.
I don't want to look at you, Sue, and say intimate,
say intimately.
But, you know.
Well, yeah. we've had the new patient special, Jeff, for about a year now. And we started it because we found that people had an obstacle in pursuing treatment. The consultation, the x-rays, the photographs, the CT scan, if that's indicated, if there's an implant involved, usually it is. But that was cost prohibitive. It was over $600. So we will do all that for $129.
Mm.
We also have a bacterial sample, treatment planning.
Photographs of areas.
We'll help them with any insurance questions and issues. We'll help them with figuring out what they need and all the diagnostic materials and a turnkey price, $129.
You know, in this day and age, that's very inexpensive. You know, I spend more than that. You know, we go out to dinner with another couple.
That way, folks can put their resources into treatment and not the diagnostic end of it.
Yeah.
And we have decided to continue it into at least the beginning of next year.
The $129 new patient special fee is actually lower than our previous exam fee, which was $165 for a new patient. So it's even lower than just the initial exam.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about, if you have periodontal disease or the beginnings of it, you know, you need to treat it. Mm-hmm. Don't let it go. You know, it's going to get worse and worse, and then you're going to really be in a world of hurt, physically and otherwise. And I mentioned to you, too, that I went to an ear, nose, throat doctor this afternoon just before I met with you, and we were talking about, you know, I've got an ear infection that he's treating. But one of the things that he said to me was, he says, man, you can't mess with an ear infection. If you've got a problem in there, you've got to go get some help, because it can affect your hearing. And I think especially with men, I believe it is something like half of men over 60 have some kind of hearing loss. So
What's that, Jeff?
Oh, I told him all those.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Yeah, I did all those things with him, and he wasn't amused, you know, because he hears it all the time.
He probably hears it every day. Yeah.
You know, he put cotton balls in my ears, and then he starts talking to me about stuff. You know, I can't hear what he's saying. But I think, you know, the analogy is a good one.
Yes.
To what you do, because, you know, the ear infections, by the way, they can travel to your inner ear.
Mm-hmm.
Then you really have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
When you've got an inner ear infection, you can't stand up.
Yeah,
that's true.
The dizziness. Yeah, have you ever had one?
Never have, but we've had patients that have had them.
And sure have.
We've heard about it. It sounds terrible.
My brother has gotten them, and he gets, what do you call it?
Vertigo.
Vertigo, exactly, from it. He says, it's just awful. He says, all he can do is just lay down and close his eyes.
Yeah.
If he opens his eyes when he gets these attacks, the room is spinning around.
Yeah, that's rough.
And he wishes that he had gotten treated for it much earlier. But
See, that's the sad part. He didn't have to go through that had he seen someone earlier, much like our profession. If folks come in sooner rather than later, a certain set of symptoms or a certain demise could be avoided. So, we're just hoping that people will put that on their New Year's resolution list. Why not the gift of health? It's not going to cost a lot.
You know, it's interesting too. I mean, just from a cosmetic standpoint, you know, my daughter has told me this, you know, we don't see ourselves as others see us. Mm-hmm. That's probably good. Yeah. But, you know, you told me about a patient, both of you, that you worked on, an attractive lady mm-hmm. who has a good job dealing with the public mm-hmm. all the time, and probably not aware that there was a certain odor emanating from her mouth because of advanced, was it periodontal disease?
Yes, it was. And as a matter of fact, that's one of the more common symptoms that people have, bad taste, bad breath.
So if we remedy the periodontal disease, will that help with the breath problem?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It sure does. And periodontal disease is probably, I'd say it's the most common cause for bad breath. You see all the commercials about mouthwashes and...
Oh, 99.9% of the...
Listerine and Scope.
You ever see that?
Yeah.
That it gets rid of 99.9% of the...
But the cause of that, more likely than not, is from dental disease, either periodontal disease or decay.
When we use these mouthwashes, mm-hmm. if you don't mind me asking, since we're on that subject now.
Sure.
It seems like the effect is very temporary.
It is.
You know, I take mouthwash because I want to smell good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, after I brush my teeth and so on and so forth, but it seems like the effect is temporary.
You know? 10 minutes.
That's it.
You know, 15 minutes. I don't know if there's any study to show that, but that's my guess. What would you guess, Sue?
That's probably correct. What we do know and have seen studies is that show the reason why mouthwash is not effective against gum disease is it can't. Gum disease happens inside the gums, in the space between the gum and the tooth, and a mouthwash can't go inside there as deep as it needs to where the bacteria is. It doesn't flush down inside. That's why it's ineffective as treatment for gum disease.
Yes, it's kind of like the guy who he doesn't take a shower, but he puts on deodorant and cologne.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like. That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
My son's 15. He used to do that all the time.
Yeah, sometimes you still have the odor and then the mint on top of the odor. Yeah, so I don't know what's worse, right?
What a great combination that is. You know, as you get a little, you know, so he's 15, so now he's hitting puberty and so on. And
yeah.
You know, how tall is he?
Almost 6'1".
Oh, good, because he's a basketball player, so it's good to be tall. Yeah. He's almost 6'1". He's only 15, huh?
Yeah.
So he might get to 6'3", 6'4"?
We think he might, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, if you don't mind me saying, this is obviously not from the Edelstein
family. It is not from the
This is from the Brown family.
It's from my wife's side of the family. Right. Amy has some uncles that are 6'4".
Wow.
6'5". So there is a tall gene in there somewhere.
And that's particularly surprising in view of the ethnic origins of your wife's family.
Hungarian.
That's not exactly what I meant, but they're Jewish, aren't
yes.
they?
Yes. Okay. Yes, so, they are.
You know, this.
There must be some tall Hungarians in there somewhere.
Yeah, well, you know, you and I are members of the tribe, so, I mean, we can we can say it.
Well, I mean, 5'9", 5'10", that was the tallest male on my side of the family.
Yeah, I'm 6'1", I'm the tallest.
Oh, sure.
You know, I tower over the rest of the family.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, my older brother, you know, so I'm the middle of three boys. You know how the oldest one beats up on the middle one beats up on the mm-hmm. younger one. Well, my brother, the older one he was in the Army. He was away, and while he was in the Army, I grew about 7 inches, you know. Comes home, starts bossing me around. I stand up, and I get right in his face, and I say to him, "You got to understand something." I said, "There's a new set of rules here." And he looked at me, and he went, "Okay, I understand."
So, cute.
Yeah. So, what can we enumerate just a little bit more what they get for the new patient special? Now, I took advantage of it. And I think you learned an awful lot, and I learned an awful lot about my situation.
Right.
I'm delighted that that was the case. Folks get a comprehensive exam, treatment planning. We review their medical history with them. We will take any x-rays. We'll start off with a panoramic x-ray, which is kind of helpful of looking at the big picture of the jaw bones, the sinuses, the teeth, and all of the related structures. And then we'll take any individual x-ray that's necessary. Bite wings or periapical radiographs are more localized, but they're more, the resolution is better. So they're helpful also, and that's included. A CAT scan, sometimes if someone needs an implant, then a CAT scan is included as well in the new patient special, as well as bacterial studies.
I believe I'm going to be getting a CAT scan this Thursday.
Yes, you are.
You are, yes.
Four
we saw
o'clock.
You on the schedule.
Folks, I'll let you know how it went.
yes, you are. But we really want it to represent a valuable experience for the patient and very helpful and eliminate the barrier to care.
Another thing we'll do is take diagnostic digital photographs, not x-rays, but a photograph.
If indicated.
Yeah, if indicated. Yeah. Same thing with x-rays. You know, it's everybody may not get a Panorex, a set of bite wings, and a single tooth x-ray. It's really what the case indicates. We really are custom tailored. One size does not fit all when it comes to patient care. And if indicated, we'll take photographs. If they're referred to us for gum grafting or sculpting a new smile or an implant in the front of the mouth, we'll take actual photographs because it helps us show the patient what treatment they may need or what deficiencies they may have. And then if it's a cosmetic case, we get to make a beautiful before and after afterwards.
How nice.
And have a little celebration, have a little look what happened for you. Look at your smile improvement. It's exciting.
But we have found that those photographs are somewhat unique. That,
yes.
Very few people in the field of periodontics are doing photographs at that level. And it really helps us co-treatment plan a case with each patient. Because someone's objectives may be health. The next patient's objectives could be health and cosmetics. The next patient could be enhanced cosmetics as well as health. Next patient could have root sensitivity. So that could be an important objective. And those photographs really help us custom tailor much of our treatment.
Wow. You know what another cool use is? I'm just now remembering of the photographs. Hmm. If, say, a patient's sitting in the chair and his wife at home may be a nurse or someone in the medical field, and he says, you know, I wish my wife could see this, so she's going to ask me a million questions when I get home. Here, take a set of photographs to her. Or sometimes college kids will come in, especially during the season, they're out of school, and mom and dad need to have a better understanding of what we're providing. Here, take this home, show them this area where we need to do some recession. I mean, we can use those photographs, and so it's really, really been, I can't imagine us not picking up the camera.
At least
probably 10 times a day. I don't know. I mean,
I can't imagine it either.
Yeah.
Are the college kids fun to work with?
Yeah,
I would think so.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
low maintenance. They are. They're fun. They're fine.
You know, my doctor friends tell me the same thing. They said these teenagers, you know, they have hardly anything wrong with them. Wonderful health, state of health.
The few things we need to do, they come in, they get it done. They're not, you know, they haven't been old enough to have a fear factor even really. It just, yeah, they're great.
Yeah. What about the records from their previous dentist? How much stock do you put in that? Maybe like a narrative written by the other dentist.
Well,
really?
I mean, if it's indicated, we will ask for those. On a case by case basis. Sometimes it's important, and sometimes it's not.
And sometimes you see things that and we've talked about this on the show numerous times. That you know, it's one thing to see your dentist twice a year. You know, as they say, well, go, let's say twice a year. Some of the people dutifully go to their dentist mm-hmm. twice a year, but the general dentist doesn't pick up on certain things that he or she should pick up on. And here's the patient doing the right thing, going to see the dentist,
right?
But not really getting the appropriate advice from the dentist for whatever reason.
I think you have a friend that had that happen.
I had a friend.
You had a friend that
he turned out to be not such a good friend after all.
Oh,
maybe the advice was not the best advice. So
you know, one of the things too, I think people confuse. You know, if the dentist is really nice to people,
yes,
he's a great dentist.
Yes,
we talked about this.
Always the case.
You mentioned this about somebody. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah.
As a dentist, everybody liked him, but he wasn't very good.
No, I worked for one many, 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 many years ago.
But they confuse that, you know, with being a good dentist.
Yeah, they think they're wonderful, and then their teeth are still falling apart.
Mm. You know, it's nice, though, if you can have, well, somebody like you, Dr. Edelstein, where
thank you.
You're competent, but you're also a nice guy, too, and people like you.
Well, we try, that's for sure.
And so I've got an appointment coming up, and you all do a great job of reminding me of the appointment. Nobody can ever say, no patient of yours can ever say, well, you didn't tell me about it.
That's technology for you.
I got a text and an email at the same time.
Yeah.
They both came at the same time.
Perfect.
Yep.
I usually get a couple, actually, before my appointment. So there's so at least you know the chance of a foul up is de minimis when that happens.
Yeah.
All right. So again, new patient special, $129, $650 worth of services for the $129. I'm just telling you, folks, if you haven't been to a good, competent dentist, and especially a periodontist, because, well, what percentage of people 50 and over have signs of periodontal disease? I
mean, the majority.
The majority.
The majority. you need to go to see Dr.
It's an epidemic.
It's an epidemic of epidemic proportions. Mm-hmm. You need to go see Dr. Bruce Edelstein, mygumdoc.com. That's the URL. Visit mygumdoc.com. They're at 24. Oh, Sue. They're at 2045 Peachtree Road.
We've got to talk, don't we?
Across the street from the Piedmont Hospital, right next door to the Darlington. I sent you an article. The Darlington.
We've got to talk. We'll talk when we come back.
It's going to be torn down.
I know.
When did they start it? In the 50s, it said?
Yes. The building's been around 60 years.
Wow. Wow, 60 years. Hey, that's really old, isn't it? 60.
No. It's young.
All right. We'll be back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Edelstein in just a minute.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. The show is Open Wide. Visit mygumdoc.com. They're at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. It's where I go. It's plenty of free parking, by the way. Mm-hmm. Plenty of free parking there. And right next door to the Darlington. When we said the Darlington.
Yes.
That's the place with the population figure, the latest population. So there goes the Darlington. You know, we were saying that there's a shortage of apartments nationwide.
Yes.
You know, and I saw an op-ed by Thomas Sowell. He's an op-ed writer, and the AJC carries his column. So he's kind of on the right, if you know what I mean. And he was talking about the shortage of housing in San Francisco. And he said there wouldn't be a shortage of housing if the government wasn't requiring these open spaces. Mm. So it's like a double-edged sword. I mean, you want open spaces, obviously. Yeah. You know, you want to have parks and things like
that.
But at the same time, the more open space you have in a small area, the fewer apartments you can build.
Right.
So that makes sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how tall these buildings can be, you know, given the fact that there was an earthquake there. What was it, 1907? 1910?
Oh, the bigger, the
great
big
San Francisco.
One.
Oh,
I thought it was 07 or 08.
25 years ago.
Something like that.
Yeah.
When was the Chicago fire? Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
Yeah. Early 1900s.
Well, I thought even 1800s. Then.
Was it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
1800s.
A long time ago.
Yes. Wait a minute. I can't keep track of what I did today from the 1800s. So people don't realize, though, do they, the periodontal disease is of epidemic proportions. It truly is an epidemic.
It's scary.
It is scary. And even sometimes in the dental community, it's not really understood at the epidemic that it is.
That's very sad.
Yeah, that's the saddest part of all. I mean, we work with great doctors, and then we see cases where some of the other dentists that have been in that person's lives have not been paying attention to the gum disease that they have. We see patients seeing oral surgeons for isolated areas, and there's, you know, moderate to advanced gum disease in the rest of their mouth with not that person saying, you know, by the way, you also have this, you should go
see.
Not a word. You know, I'm not trying to poo-poo any one person, but we see this. It's very concerning.
I went to the doctor today. I was a new patient, went to him, filled out a bunch of forms, and you fill out these forms. And they ask all kinds of questions about the state of your health.
Yes. Okay,
not one word was about my teeth, my mouth.
That's scary, isn't it?
It is.
So we find that even though over age 65, 70% of the folks over 65 has some form of gum disease.
Wow.
And that's from the CDC.
What percentage of people in that age group who come to you for the first time have been treated for any kind of periodontal disease?
It's common for them to have some treatment. It's also common to have periodontal disease undertreated, where they may have a false sense of security that they're having adequate treatment and it's not. Mm. So it is more common than I care to admit. But we are here. That's why we have the new patient special, that folks can come to us and they could be comforted in knowing that things are good, or something needs treatment, and recommend what they need.
$129.
Yeah.
$650 worth of services.
Yeah.
Including, Sue, what was that device you showed me on a screen, the bacteria?
The phase
emanating
microscope.
From my mouth. What was it called?
It's called a phase microscope. Yeah, and we do a bacterial slide. We take a little tip of the pinhead amount, put it on a slide, but you
like
see
a culture or something?
The hundreds and hundreds and millions of bacteria teeming.
No, actually, yeah. It's in real time. It's the live bacteria under the gum.
Yeah, I saw it moving around. Yeah,
yeah. We used to think that we could utilize the type of bacteria to analyze whether someone has active periodontal breakdown or not, but we couldn't really figure that part out. But what we have found is that it's wonderful to demonstrate that people have real infections with live bacteria.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's why we like to use it. It's not as much diagnostic. It's not a diagnostic tool, but it's a great motivator for folks, because it motivated you. You've brought that up a few times.
I'll tell you something. I mean, it was like, I couldn't believe this was, you know, in my mouth.
There, yeah. Right? I think it's impressive. It shows it's a live, active bacterial infection.
And that infection,
it does get in the bloodstream.
That infection, those bacteria are getting into the bloodstream. Their toxins, their byproducts are getting into the bloodstream. The mouth is connected to the rest of the body. So we know that someone with periodontal disease has a higher risk of being diabetic. They have a higher risk of having a fatal heart attack, a stroke.
Kidney disease.
Chronic kidney disease has been related at higher, more commonly in people that have periodontal disease.
Arthritis. I wonder, what about dementia?
Yes.
You know, Alzheimer's.
It's got a big role in Alzheimer's.
It is possibly a risk factor for Alzheimer's.
I've read in the paper a connection between diabetics who have foot problems and Alzheimer's disease, or it's dementia.
There's a correlation.
Yeah. I mean, so it's not always something that seems to make sense, but there's a correlation there.
Inflammation. I mean, we know inflammation is a killer.
Right. Last but not least, erectile dysfunction.
Yes. Which,
okay, so we laugh and everything, but what is it, Viagra? I can't remember which one of those drugs, but one of them is like one of the biggest selling drugs in the history of medicine.
Yes.
So, I mean, obviously, this is, you talk about a problem, talk about epidemic proportions, you know.
Yes.
You're talking about, you know, and it makes sense, because people today, when they're, you know, when I was a little kid, I mean, somebody was 70, you know, they had one foot in a grave. Most of them weren't even around.
Sure.
Yeah,
anymore.
Yeah.
Now, people 70.
Right.
In the gym that I used to go to, I mean, I'd see guys that were 70 years old. These guys were hosses, big, strong guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously, they wanted to hopefully, you know, have... maintain an active, how do I say this?
Continuing enjoying the benefits of their relationships.
Yeah, very well.
Ooh, how about that?
Sue, that's great.
It's something a woman would say, you know, relationship. God, do I hate that word.
Well, I'm sitting here in a room with two men who are talking about erectile dysfunction. Yeah, I'm just trying to...
I was on a show last week and they asked me...
Make generalized statements.
Yeah, I was on a show last week and they had three of us guys, two of us married and one single, but they were asking us about relationships. And I said... And every once in a while, you know, so my wife likes to talk. She likes to have talks with me more than I do.
That's common.
Yeah. So she said, you know, we need to talk, you know. And I'm like, oh, my God. About what?
Especially
what do we need to talk about?
During a ball game or something.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, she knows now. She's learned that when I say, hey, there's only 7 minutes left in the game,
yes,
that it doesn't mean that I'll be with her in 7 minutes. She knows now that 7 minutes can be 40 minutes.
Right.
True, in that last 7 minutes?
Yes. That's funny.
Yes, that's the timeouts and the penalties.
Maybe we need to talk after the game.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Jeff, I do have to ask you, do you have a friend that has erectile dysfunction? Do you have any... You know, we joke so much about people saying, I have a friend.
When it's really them.
Yeah. You don't have to answer. Don't out your friend.
You know,
I'm teasing, Jeff. Yeah.
You know, my friend doesn't have that problem, but it amazes me that he doesn't.
Oh, good for your friend.
Given the fact that, well, he's borderline diabetic. Well, right there, you know, circulation.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit overweight. That's another, I think, risk factor for... erectile dysfunction. Mm. I mean, anything where we're talking about circulation, right, Doc?
Yeah.
Would be, you know.
Definitely.
Talking about an extremity of sorts, you know.
Oh, that definitely. You know, periodontal disease is just so common that it's so predictable that we could fix it. There are so many good techniques to be able to treat someone. And it's just a shame that it's untreated or undertreated or undiagnosed. And it is just such a shame that it's
isn't that frustrating to you?
Yes. I mean,
can you tell by the tone of my voice that it's
yeah,
frustrating?
And the thing is, I mean, this is not weird science.
No.
Correct.
Okay, so I mean, you might find somebody who says that shark cartilage can cure lung cancer. Well, that's bull. This is not in that category at all. This is based on data.
Yes.
You know, from reliable sources.
Yes.
Scientific data that there's definitely a correlation here.
Definitely. Another reason for the new patient special is people may kind of be under the misnomer that in order to see a periodontist, a gum specialist, they need their dentist to refer them. You do not need your dentist to refer you. You can go straight to the periodontist.
All right, you want to know something? Well, first of all, I did that.
Yeah.
I did that. I did that at the end of our second show. I said, I need to see you.
Yes, you did.
And in particular, I asked you about a certain tooth of mine that my dentist had said will eventually have to go because of the pocketing. You know, I think it was a 10, which I thought, you know, well, a perfect 10. But you said it needs to come out now.
Yes.
You know, because that's the prudent thing to do, not to just keep it in there.
You're harboring an infection.
And then also, because I've had this happen where I had a tooth that broke. And boy, I'll tell you what, it was on a Friday. I was fortunate to be able to get in to see an oral surgeon on Saturday morning. Okay.
Wow.
I didn't ordinarily work on Saturday morning, but agreed to come and see me and do it.
The reason why periodontal disease is painless is because the infection drains in the mouth. People only have.
What does that do for our breath?
Well, that's.
You're talking about
that's why we have it.
Therein is the reason why it causes bad taste and bad breath, because the infection drains into the mouth. When it doesn't drain, that's when people have discomfort. So you had a situation that didn't drain for whatever reason, and that's why you had pain.
Hmm.
But the more common scenario with gum disease is that it drains into the mouth. That's why bad taste and bad breath occurs. And it's completely painless. And it's unbelievable how advanced this disease could get, how much jawbone destruction and gum destruction there could be around the teeth, and there is no pain.
All right, so due to these statistics that we've spotted, most folks, I take it, would benefit from a
periodontal exam.
An evaluation.
Yes. Yeah. If we had statistics out there that said 3 out of 4 or 75% of the female population had cyst in their breast, wouldn't you be going to your gynecologist to have that fight? You wouldn't be going to your family internist. You would go right to the specialist. We have statistics, this latest research that came out, groundbreaking, first one of its kind in that detailed manner, that stated 3 out of 4 adults have gum disease. Why wouldn't the population want to see the periodontist, the person who is the expert at treating that? So our new patient special, we put it on our website because we're here to help. We're here to help the Atlanta community and make ourselves available and kind of not only remove the barrier of needing a referral. You do not need a referral. You never needed a referral.
How wonderful.
It doesn't take place in dentistry. Sometimes in medicine, that may be a rule because of insurance constraints. It's not part of dental treatment. So you can come directly to us.
I think also, frankly, it's just my opinion, that people who are a little more sophisticated, they'll have a tendency to go right to a specialist.
Yes.
And not mess around. You know, I was having abdominal problems. I've had them for years on and off. You and I have talked about this.
So,
you know, when I get it, I'm not going to that guy. I'm not going to the GP.
Right.
I'm going right to, I called, you know, Atlanta Gastroenterology, I think it was called.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the fella saw me, happens to be a friend of mine too, but just through our daughters who grew up together. But I wasn't going to go to my GP who was going to tell me to take Maalox.
Sure. Right.
So I went directly to this gastroenterologist, and I said to him, in view of what you've just seen with me and, you know, your exam, and the questions that you asked me, was it appropriate for me to go to you? Or should I have gone, you know? He said, absolutely. He said, you know, this is, you needed to come here to somebody who can handle this kind of thing.
Right.
This is not, your GP can do a lot of things, and they're very good at a lot of things, but right. This would not be one of them.
Well, specialists, when they focus on an area, their education is about that area. Their continuing education throughout the year is about that area. The experience day in and day out. We have seen everything from A to Z and all the letters in between in just that small area. Yeah. So you really become an expert in it. Your skills are honed for that problem or for that set of problems. There's something to be said for that when you have that experience behind you.
All right, we've got to take a break, but I'm going to have to ask you when we come back, and it's not on my script here, but I want to, because we've talked about this before. I'm just wondering how much managed care has to do with these problems, you know? In other words, why, you know, if a dentist sees a particular problem that you have, why wouldn't he want to, you know, treat those problems? There might be something in it for him financially or for her financially. Why would they neglect it? Why would they not say, you know, we worry about doctors and dentists, you know, over-treating.
Right.
Because they want to line their pockets or whatever. But sometimes they might under-treat, and maybe managed care is in there.
Yes.
Somewhere in this equation. So let's talk about that when we come back. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Office located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Plenty of free parking available, by the way. To learn more, visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. We'll be back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Edelstein straight ahead.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. By the way, if you don't mind me asking, do you have any more seminars planned?
Not right now.
Okay, I went to one.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. First of all, it was at Brio. you could do a lot worse,
ate well.
Folks. I ate very well. I ate very well. I tried to be as circumspect as possible. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Getting a little surreptitious there, you know. Hey, look over there at that. You know what I mean? And then, but yeah, I mean, it is a wonderful restaurant, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
It was great.
I mean, you really did it upright, and it was heavy hors d'oeuvres. It was basically dinner, as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, it is.
We will do seminars to the public again.
Okay, and your part was maybe an hour long. It wasn't 3 hours, you know? Yeah.
Just enough to get information, allow for questions and answers, and get folks home.
Yeah, about half of what we do today is dental implants and grafting related to dental implants. This seminar was devoted to that. It was to try to help folks understand what they are, what they're about, and all aspects of it.
How much experience do you have with dental implants, Dr. Edelstein?
I've been doing them for over 30 years now.
Wow.
About 30 years.
Is it fair to say you've done in the thousands?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Sure. Well, I'm sure we'll do 300 this year. Uh-huh. We've probably been doing 250 for the past at least 5 to 7 years. So, well, we've done a few thousand for sure.
Yeah. That's basically about one a day.
Yeah. Now it is averaged out.
Now it is one a day, yeah. It's grown to that. So, you know, you get a lot of experience with something and a lot of proficiency.
Now, can we contrast that with the fact that there are some dentists out there who hold themselves out as implant specialists, let's say,
mm-hmm.
whose training involved, what, a weekend?
Yeah, there's...
Mm-hmm. That is happening.
And any dentist with a dental license could do any aspect of dentistry. And it is possible that someone with not a lot of experience mm-hmm. and not a lot of training can provide dental implants, and some may do it well, and some may not so much.
But that seems wrong to me. I mean, there shouldn't be some not so much, you know, not doing it very well. I mean, that's not in the best interest of the public.
No. I mean, that's in every profession, Jeff. I mean, people that lay flooring and, you know, do hardwood floors, there are some better at it than others. I think that's just kind of human nature. There's always going to be some who are very good and top of their field, and some who are average, and some who are subpar. And the difficulty for patients or the layperson is trying to figure out who is their periodontist, is their dentist? A, B, C?
I guess what I'm getting at is, if God forbid I needed heart surgery and I went to Emory University, I would feel confident that pretty much any heart surgeon at Emory University is going to be extremely competent.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you went to Emory University Dental School.
I did. Yeah, for dental school.
Mm-hmm. Cornell undergraduate. I like to always say, spout off your credentials because you have such good ones. And University of Pennsylvania for advanced training, which is outstanding. And don't you think all these things give you a leg up?
Yeah, I think so. I'm quite grateful to the teachers and mentors that I had along the way and the programs that I was privileged enough to go to, no question about it.
But if you've been doing implants for 30 years, let's say, and that was right around when they started. I mean, they weren't around much before you started.
It is. Okay. Yeah, you had a question.
So that that experience, you know, I mean, look, there's nothing like, you know, you can get classroom training, but there's nothing, you know, experience is the best
invaluable
teacher, I think.
Invaluable.
Yeah, even to this day, I'll come across something every other week that I've not seen before.
Yes.
After doing thousands of the implants or other procedures in periodontal treatment as well. So being a specialist in a specific area really enables us to treat folks at the highest level possible, both for implants as well as for periodontal treatment.
And it also enables us, just because I've been with Dr. Edelstein for 20 years, because we really only have that specialty to focus on, it allows us to stay current with the trends. And it's just a natural evolution. It's very difficult to be a master, what's that phrase, jack of all trades, master of none. It is difficult to be a jack of all trades, of all of them. What dentist can truly be a master orthodontist, a master periodontist, a master restorative dentist, a master root canal dentist? It's difficult, and specialties have their place.
Now, you've worked for other dentists. You've been with Dr. Edelstein for 20 years, Sue, but have you ever worked for other dentists who did, you don't have to mention any names, of course, who did implants?
No.
Okay. So I guess what I was asking was, so maybe I can ask you this, Dr. Edelstein. Have you ever have to come in after somebody else, if you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know?
Sometimes. I remember that woman that came to us from out of town, and she had those...
Was this the woman from South America?
Those mini... No, this is someone else,
gosh,
actually.
Oh, gosh, I couldn't believe it.
Those mini implants.
Yes.
As long as they were,
gosh.
And the gigantic crowns on top.
In her molar teeth.
They were way in the sinus.
Oh,
I mean,
that was a mess.
It was a poorly designed situation or reconstruction from beginning to end.
And really, I think the sad thing about her particular case is these implants were placed by her general dentist. It was in another city. I don't think the gum disease was ever addressed in the adjacent areas, so that was another cause for failure for these implants. This poor woman, I mean, not longer than 10 years ago invested, she had six implants on top,
maybe something like that,
a half a dozen. Every one of them, she's losing every one of them and going into a denture.
That's a shame.
It's really unfortunate that, you know, good planning, good engineering was not done at the front end, as well as making sure that there was a good foundation to even put these implants in.
All right, now you have the perioscope. We've talked about the perioscope.
Yeah. Before.
It's a game changer.
It is a game changer.
Totally.
And the particular perioscope that you use,
yes,
Dr. Edelstein, is actually state of the art.
Yes, it's the highest resolution camera and unit that you can get. I waited until this became available about a year and a half, 2 years ago, because the earlier models you just couldn't see. And let me explain. The perioscope is a little teeny tiny camera on the edge of a tiny probe, and we can actually look under the gum and clean out infected areas around teeth as well as implants. And we can also apply regenerative material while we clean off the root surface.
Which you couldn't do before.
Couldn't do before. Deep scaling, we've talked about this on previous shows. Deep scaling is limited. It only goes so deep, and which is not very deep because it's blind under the gum. Mm-hmm. And the scope enables us to go to the bottom of the crevice between the tooth and the gum, and actually in real time we can see the side of the root surface or the implant surface, and we can clean it off for the very first time.
We are the only office in the state of Georgia using this periscope. And it may be, you know, if we have listeners out there who have already seen a periodontist and said, we're told they need gum surgery, a new patient special is not terribly expensive with our office to come and see if we can perhaps treat their gum disease non-surgically with the periscope. Yeah, I mean, that's worth a second opinion right there.
I just had an oil change recently. Okay, of course, they always find, you know, these other things. $129 compared to what I just went through. This is the bargain. Yeah. Absolute bargain. All right, we have to take a break.
All right.
When we come back, let's review the signs and guidelines for who should see a periodontist so that we have it kind of laid out for people. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Office located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Visit mygumdoc.com. It's a great URL, mygumdoc.com. And check out the new patient special, $129 for $650 worth of services. We'll be back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Maybe before we talk about the signs and guidelines for who should see a periodontist, we can talk about financing. Because, Well, you know, a lot of times these can get... these treatments can get well into the thousands of dollars,
mm-hmm.
okay? Which, like I was just saying before the break, you know, I went to the car dealer to have some things done. And it was not cheap. It was several thousand dollars to get it done, but that's just the way that it is.
Sure.
That's what it costs. So we have interest-free financing for a year.
Yes.
Okay, so that's wonderful. There's no interest.
I pay the interest, but our patients have no interest. So, and they get financing for a year.
So there is interest, but you're the one paying it, and they're not.
I pay 10% to offer interest-free financing to our patients.
Now, you had an offer. Do you still have it? It was, should the expense get to $2,000 or above,
yes.
you get 10% off.
Yes, mm-hmm, if there's no correct. Financing involved.
Yeah.
So I'm paying 10% one way or another.
Right.
Right.
Whether or not there's financing.
Well, it's a lot of money. It's a big saving.
I'm giving 10% to our patients to help them get the treatments that they need.
Okay, well, that's a big saving.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the signs and guidelines for who should see a periodontist. Let me just list them real quickly.
Yeah, go right ahead, Jeff.
There's five of them. Number one, if it's been more than a year. Number two, if you have,
A deep cleaning.
A deep cleaning in the past.
I put down the dental nickname.
Yeah, what is that, SC/R?
Scaling and root planing. It's a deep cleaning.
Oh, I love that, scaling and root planing.
You're in the net.
Of course,
Jeff.
That's what it is, yeah.
Of course.
Number three, if you have bleeding or swollen gums. Number four, if there's family history. Number five, if you have missing teeth. Can I ask you about four and five?
Sure.
Family history, how relevant is that? You know, my mother had terrible problems with her gums. And I think I told you, she was treated for gum disease, and it was awful. This is 45 years ago.
Yeah.
It is relevant. You know, you're the recipient of a constellation of your genetic makeup. And if being prone to periodontal disease is in the family past history, just like heart disease, then someone is more prone to have periodontal disease.
Hmm. How about if you have missing teeth?
Well, it depends upon what they're missing from. So the most common cause for tooth loss in an adult is periodontal disease. So if someone has missing teeth and it's due to the most common cause for tooth loss, then they probably should see a periodontist. And I like to add a few situations mm-hmm. that people should see a periodontist. Someone with diabetes is exquisitely more prone to periodontal disease. So a smoker, exquisitely more prone to periodontal disease. And those folks should see a periodontist, as well as anyone with any immune deficient situation.
The good news is that if you're diabetic and you get it treated,
yes,
it could actually help to reverse the diabetes, which what diabetic doesn't want that?
There could be a lowering of the A1C by having periodontal disease treated. Mm. So it's our hope in the new year that folks will seek the treatment that they need, and we hope we've been helpful over the past year in giving people information and lowering the barriers to care.
And folks, make it your New Year's resolution.
Yes.
Go visit Dr. Edelson. The gift of health.
The gift of health.
All right. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com for more information about the office of Dr. Bruce Edelstein, located across from Piedmont Hospital. Next to the Darlington Apartments, while they're still here.
Boo hiss.
2045 Peachtree Road. Plenty of free parking. Again, visit mygumdoc.com. And Sue and Dr. Edelstein, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, Tuesdays at noon on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.